you're here.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recall the words that was said at the graveside of Lazarus. Now that you're here, and we believe that all things are possible, because if you could raise one that was dead, corrupted 4 days in the grave, as you yourself said, they said he stinketh the face. No doubt, as Brother Brand said, it's begun to fall in. It was an actual resurrection. And here we are at the same place, Lord. There's all of us have had problems in our lives, and we need a little resurrection, Lord. A renewal, a coming to life in Thee, Lord. Whatever those needs are, and perhaps we've had them all of our lives. They've been habits, they've been complexes, they've been ideas, various temperaments and whatsoever. Lord, and we need to realize that all things are possible. It's not too late. That you're able tonight to give us victory in every dimension, Lord. Whatever the need is, it's just one thing you can't do. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. You cannot be unfaithful to yourself. So, Lord, here it is. There's nothing that is left but to believe you. May we believe tonight as we have never believed before, and enter in, Lord, to the things of eternal life as we never have entered in, to realize the not just the possibility but the capability, for greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So, Father, help us tonight. And whatever words might be said, they might be mixed up, however, we believe that you'll help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's nice to have a little service again tonight. We had one week ago. And Brother and Sister Keller with us, which is very nice. I haven't seen them for quite some time. I guess August may be what he tells me. And who knows? You know, the scripture I was reading is in the scripture here, and it, I want you to notice something that, how it is placed in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Paul is speaking, and then suddenly he changes the tenor. He changes, the atmosphere. It isn't a change of subject, actually, but it comes just like, you're maybe in a beautiful situation, and like the Garden of Eden, and then suddenly there comes this blast, and you find there's a serpent there. Now, Paul is speaking in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, in the seventh verse, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, you've heard Brother Branham say that if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is here back here in the form of the Holy Spirit, then he'll do the same things that he did for us that he did for Israel in the flesh. Now, that's what this is saying here. He that ascended, what is it that he first of all descended the lower parts of the earth? The one that went up, caught up in a rapture with Abraham and the rest of them, was the one that actually descended the lower parts of the earth. And he that descended also, and he that descended is the same that ascended. So the same one that went up actually came back. And you'll notice, however, that talking of the lower parts of the earth, you could hardly call that where the body was. So the same one is risen from the dead, tells you. Is risen from the dead, has come back. He came back upon the people, and as Brother Branham said in the tape, I got to get that. It was a little too lazy. But he said there's a part of the Holy Spirit that can be only one place at one time. That's pretty well what he said. That's the truth. Because the baptism with the Holy Ghost in minuscule form, which is a little microcosm of the Holy Ghost, would never at any time, if it was in trillions of people, ever constitute God himself. He wouldn't do it. There's just no way. And you see, when the pillar of fire was over their heads at Pentecost, a little lick came from the main body. It didn't say the main body came down, God separated himself, that's the end of God. God's now in the human race. Well, I just might as well be Roman Catholic and believe in the Pope. I mean, I would. You'll never sell me on that. There's no way. There's nothing in the Bible that says that man ever becomes deity. He's a part of, a derivative of, an attribute, and so on. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now see how beautiful. Till we all come in unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning crafts whereby the lying way to deceive, but holding to the truth and love, may grow up unto him and all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of self and love. You say, hallelujah, that's the Garden of Eden. Now, watch the blast of cold air come. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. Now, notice over here, there's no darkened understanding. You've got a revelation of the light himself. You're not tossed to and fro. You can't be carried away by cunning craftiness, no matter what lies in wait to deceive. But there you are in love. And as it having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of the heart, their hearts, who being past feelings have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be you heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceit, to deceitful pleasures, that's lust, that's pleasures, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you receive the day of redemption, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you and all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, you can evidently see here that there is a state and a standing that is not just possible, but it is a reality, that our standing before God is one of perfection. As Brother Branham said, he can only hear your voice through the blood, just hear what you're saying. And he sees your representation, of course, which is Jesus Christ. He does not see you. We understand that, and we understand that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. In receiving him, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, we have become the very righteousness of Almighty God. This is the old state and standing doctrine. What your standing is before God is one of perfection in Christ Jesus. But what actually your state is what condition are you in and what condition am I in, even as we look at what I believe to be the consummation here given by Paul, when the church, the Ephesian church, which is we have become another Ephesus, as Brother Branham said in the Paradox. We're ready to go into the promised land now, ready to cross over spiritual Jordan and be into where the millennium is. You'll notice in here, this beautiful perfection, right in the truth, right in the fullness, coming up to the end, the seven church age forming the last little group, kind of like neck, that the head can come down upon, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things. And then it said, the whole body joined together, make it increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, it's something that Brother Branham brought out in the token. I took a couple of pages here, and I want to read them to you. Jesus said, this generation shall not cease until everything be fulfilled. And remember, the very night that Israel was made a nation, that is the night the angel of the Lord appeared to me right yonder. That's right. There we all are. Everything is pointing up exactly the truth. I have not lied to you. I have told you the truth. God has testified, I've told you the truth. Now remember, I'm your brother. I'm a man. I'm just a man, just like you all, but somebody has got to bring it. Somebody has got to say it. That wasn't my choice, that was his choice, and I've told you the truth. And he has testified right back that it is the truth. And we see these things upon the earth today. Oh people, this is the last hour. Get that token over you quickly as you can, or get into the token, get in the token. As we see the great ensign of the time at hand warning us, time is at hand. Oh, take this solemnly. We should love one another. Oh, my, we should be so in love. Don't ever speak evil against another or one another. If somebody makes a mistake, pray for him right quick. We are together in this with God. Now, you notice how the Brother Branham is bringing the same thing that Paul brought. We are brothers and sisters. Oh, live godly. Live like daughters of God. Live like sons of God. Live sweet, kind, humble. Let no evil come in your mind and your thinking. Just dismiss it. If it knocks at the door, on the door, take it away. Just say, just show your token. Just keep walking. I'm under the blood. Remember, there were a lot that came by those women that night and said, hey, girly lily, some of you come on out. We're going to party night. Uh-uh. I'm under the blood. I'm under the token to stay here. My love is to my maker. Death is in the land tonight. Death is in the land today. Judgment is waiting. She's pending. Atomics and the hydrogens. He's talking about bombs and all kinds of disasters waiting for the nations. And God is moving his church and showing all. He's been keeping the lamb up now for quite a while, watching, seeing what he is doing, watching his nature and everything. But now the token has got to be applied. It's got to be applied. That is the one thing. Except a man be born of spirit and water, he shall no wise enter in. You should love one another. Believers separate themselves from the world. Don't just take it now lightly. Now, you people that are listening, this is on tape, women and men, you listen a minute. If you ever believe it now. It is time to quit fussing with one another. Believe the message of the Bible. Believe Jesus Christ. Love, honor, respect one another. Men, respect your wives, you respect your homes. Bring your homes together, because remember, this lamb was for the home, not just one. The whole home, too, had to be brought in. Everything had to be brought in. We should love each other, and believers should separate themselves from the world. Notice they were not just come together to talk about the message. Now, you can come together anytime you want, as long as you're in the message, and you got the token, you can come together and talk. But these are people that evidently have not come in. Now, they were not just come together to talk about the message. You come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. This is what you must do. Pastor Neville and his congregation, trustees, deacons, to you, brethren, it's time we laid aside all the foolishness of the world. Time we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive, sure, and the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How do you do it? By one Spirit. We're baptized in the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. He was not responsible for any out from beneath it. But you believe. Get beneath it. Israel didn't come together to say, let's all go to Goshen today. We'll drive up to Goshen. You get on your camel. I'll take the ox cart and we'll go to the Joneses over there and so forth, the Goldbergs. We'll go to Goshen. And you know what? Moses is going to speak today. That wasn't it. No, sir. Brother, it was to get beneath the blood. Yes, indeed. Not to talk about it, but to get into it. And this is what we're looking at in the pastoral side of Brother Branham's message. There were certain precepts that he laid down, and the one great precept that he laid down, which we read about constantly, is that precept on love. And that love precept is, as the scripture said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. And it is time, I believe, with Brother Branham, that the hour is very, very serious, that we don't have much time left. The time is running out. And as Brother Branham said, what was underneath the table one morning will suddenly be on top of the table. Now, I remember back, and I don't know if there's anyone else who remembers back, but I guess you would remember back, perhaps to, I guess it was October back in 1929. And that's when they jumped out of windows in New York. You had it's just like confetti falling in the streets almost. That's when men who knew something and thought and did understand things, they got out of the market just in time. And they took hundreds of millions of dollars with them. Whereas actually nations went broke. And we had a great depression. And Brother Branham said that depression that we saw and he knew about, the same as I know about, would be nothing compared to what lies ahead. And what lies ahead, I believe, can only be brooked and can only be faced, can be overcome on the grounds that Brother Branham has laid down here, that his perfect love casts out fear. The love that we have for each other is very, very important because it's basic to the casting out of fear, the casting out of what not only will come upon the earth, but how it will be handled as it does come upon the earth. And I'm convinced, as I say, the time is pretty well running out. There's not much time left. I don't say that because of my age. My expectancy, they tell me by the charts, is 10 more years to go, which God forbid that I should ever even hit 71, let alone having already hit 70. But that's something that God knows, but I don't know about. But we must be ready for this challenge that's coming upon the earth, which Brother Branham said could come very, very suddenly. And it's quoting from him how that what was under that table can suddenly appear on it, and we'll find ourselves in the midst of it. And brother, sister, it is really time that we begin to disabuse our minds, we begin to rid our minds of all of those things that have to do with the things of the world, the flesh and the devil, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all those things that come in, and begin to just turn our hearts and our minds away from that which the enemy would use to hinder us and thereby hinder others, because our lives speak sermons far greater than our words ever do. And always you'll notice that the enemy and those round about are always so happy to seize upon something that has been done. And it's very easy for Christians to be discouraged with each other, to be disgusted. I found myself that it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay at all. And I'm looking around and I find that some of my brethren are falling into the same trap that I fell into, which is be critical and censorious of what other ministers were doing. What does it matter to me what any minister does? As Brother Branham said, I don't go to correct anybody anymore. He said, God never sent me to judge. He said, they don't work for me, they work for God. They're not my servants, they're His. And so it behooves us to understand the way the wind suddenly switched from the warm, beautiful breeze of Eden to the cold blast of the reality of sin. And Paul brings it out right here at this very end time, that there will be all of this going on. Out in the land of wickedness, their iniquity will increase, while within the bride, the word and the glory of God is going to increase. But he warns the bride at all times. And he said, look, he said, now listen, I want you to notice what's happened to those people out there. He said, they Gentiles walked in the vanity of their minds. They wouldn't listen to the word which was given to them. Their understanding was darkened. And the more dark, they found themselves into more and more problems and more things. And that's not what God wants us to be into. God wants us to be lined up more and more with this word. And it may cost us something. I look back and I was concerning my own life, and I see where Brother Branham spoke. He said those traps that Satan lays there, naming certain traps, and I've watched them. And you know, Satan will come every single time. He just will not let up. There's no letting up in his tactics. There's no letting up. That he won't try to make you come to that very place that you know in your own life, which is a fault. That's like an earthquake fault. That word fault doesn't mean a sin. It means an area of weakness where there can be a separation within yourself, where you have your free moral choice. You have a choice. And you'll notice that in many, as you look at your own lives and you watch, you notice that some things just don't bother you. That you're over that. You can walk right on. But there isn't, I don't believe, one person that doesn't have a besetting sin in the sense of a place where Satan wants to come in. And you watch how he'll take every way he can to twist your mind, to make you see a slant, to justify yourself, or to open the door whereby that you feel or I can feel that we could get away with anything. You can't do it. There's no way. And in this hour, it's going to be rougher than ever. It will be. Because as righteousness increases, so does wickedness increase. In fact, the only reason the bride isn't gone is because wickedness hasn't come to its full yet. That's all. When the wicked, the cup of the Amorites is filled, when the wickedness of this world, spiritual darkness, has come to the place where it can take over, the bride will get out of here. But there's things left to be done in that area. But in the meantime, Satan is more actively and pronounced in his coming against the bride than he ever has been before. And he wants to get this word out of us, and he wants our lives to say, well, all right, I believe that message. And say, well, that's good enough. Well, it's not good enough. It's only good enough when we walk in the light as He is in the light, and have fellowship one with another. And that's where the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And it behooves us to listen to Paul and to all the apostles. And Brother Branham was that, you might call, that last apostle, so to speak. He's an apostle. He went around the world, took the word. He's a prophet, went around the world. And always in preaching the truth, he warned the people always to walk softly, to walk in love, because love covers a multitude of sins. It isn't that love is permissive. That's not it at all. It's that love recognizes that you and I do not have the authority or the right. It is God who has the right and the authority. And when he had the right and the authority to deal with sin, he gave his life and he dealt with it in love. There's a judgment coming down the road. Whatever that judgment is, let God take care of it. As the scripture says, judge not before the time, but to begin to walk in love. And that's all I really wanted to say tonight before we have communion foot washing for you who so desire. To bring these thoughts from what I copied off there because they impressed me, as Brother Branham spoke on the token, that there are many people who had positively identified Brother Branham as a man of the ages. They've listened to what he said on the grounds that they have thought that what he said was very good in many respects. And they're, I guess, universal. They're all around. But there weren't too many who really believed him for who and what he was, and who took the word literally, even as he gave it, and then realized that there was a life with it, and that if we walked in that light as he is in the light, we'd have fellowship one with another, and the blood would be cleansing us, and we'd be walking in love toward each other. And that's where this church has to come to. We all have to come to it, is to not excuse and neither to accuse. But it'd be far better to excuse than it would to be to accuse. But if there's something worthy of accusation, then the person should be helped as a matter of love, not as a matter of reproach. This is where we have been wrong. I think over the past, I look at my own life, although I've been rough in my speech, I've never really gone to too many people and said hardly anything at all, which is not good. It's if there's something that should be helped, and that's what we look at. Because correction is help. Brother Branham said, we come to church to be corrected. Well, I would actually, we could have actually used a better word there. We come to church to be helped. We come to church to leave better than we came. Although sometimes it's the reverse. Sad to say, when you hear the wrong word and you're given wrong instructions, you leave the place worse. And the Bible teaches that. Paul said, you come together for the worse, not for the better. And that's what we're looking at tonight, is to come together every time. Don't look at each other. Just look through the blood and see Jesus Christ. See the person. You can't see the person if you see the blood. I can't and you can't. And he said, always say good things. And that's the truth. He said, if you can't say anything good, then say nothing at all. Now, sometimes that is true, that we may find ourselves where we cannot at the moment, or perhaps over a period of time, find anything good to say. But you know what? I doubt that that would be a very stern principle to live by. Because surely there is something good to say about everybody. There's something in there that was good in some degree. And so we look at those things. And that doesn't mean that we're trying to whitewash them. It doesn't mean that at all. It means it's keeping us in the right spirit and the right attitude. Because remember, the Bible tells us that we are to agree with our adversaries while we're in the way with them, lest that adversary delivers to the judge, and the judge to the prison keeper. And the strangest thing of all is the fact that it says, the man that was in the right is the one that gets thrown into prison, and he doesn't come out till he pays the uttermost farthing. And what he's trying to tell you there is this, you had the wrong attitude, and I had the wrong attitude. And believe me, as the Bible said, your sins will surely find you out. So will you find out that this scripture is very true, that the judge, that this adversary will deliver you to the judge. And the strangest thing is, the one that wasn't to blame or in the wrong is the one that's going to suffer. And he'll pay the price because he took a wrong attitude. But the Bible said, if men speak evil of you, and men do all manner of evil and persecute you, then lift up your hands and rejoice. It doesn't say one thing about you being thrown in prison. It says you're out of prison, and nobody can put you into there. So I just thought I'd just bring you these words here to let you know that as we go along in this message and we dwell on this message, and I've not taken a lot of time to preach pastoral messages, because though I am able to do so to a degree, I'm not a pastor. I'm more a man that itinerates and goes around. But Brother Branham never shunned to let the people know that there was a light. And he got in that pulpit one time, and I remember as he talked to a certain man, and he said, that man, he said, he never criticized Brother Branham. He said he didn't dare attack my character. And he stood there just steely-eyed, as it were. And he made that solemn statement, not like a man that was fighting, but a man that was right. He said he couldn't attack my character. What if that man had attacked his character? Brother Branham could come swung right around the vision and said, where were you 4 nights ago or whatever happened? But the man knew better. He may argue Scripture. And Scripture is fine. And it is the greatest thing in the world. To discuss it, to talk it, you can't live without it. Pray by it. There's no other way to pray. There's no confession outside of this word. There's no way that anyone will ever convince me that to turn down the light of the word of this hour, that they're ever going to make it. There's no token there. They better plot in a hurry so they get to see the message and understand the word of the hour. Because the Scripture says that the blood is not effective unless there is light. And if the light strikes and man turns down that light, talk all he wants about the blood, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't help him any. But you know what? He said, a man can live a life and preach 1,000 sermons when he couldn't open his mouth and preach one. He's already preached many. And I find this at all, as I've looked back over the years, that mostly I've seen in the ministry itself, in particular, there's been an emphasis greatly upon the ministry and upon a gift, as it were. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But you know, the thing is this, that's something that you're not responsible for in the sense that it's like something that's automatically there. You didn't perhaps ask for it, which you would not have got if you had asked for it anyway, when it comes to true ministry. Those gifts, they cost nothing. And although in themselves they're not deceitful, any gift of God is a beautiful, wonderful thing. But so many things of God can be taken and used in a wrong way, which we see gifts have been used in a wrong way. But I'm not speaking particularly of that. I'm speaking particularly of the fact of too much in the ministry, and I know it spreads out amongst us, that as a minister will utilize a gift, he doesn't realize there's a life to be lived in a way that is transparent and according to the word of the living God. And the people themselves then coming, as they do in this hour, and they'll say, well, I believe the message. I knew who the prophet was. And that covers it. It doesn't cover it. It doesn't do it. There's a life to be lived, my brother and my sister. And so let us understand this as never before. That life is to be lived with a heart of love, a respect and courtesy in the home, out of the home, in every place, building each other up in the most holy faith, and praying always with all prayers and intercessions for each other, and just realizing that love is required of us, and that love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And the question then comes, all right, who's going to receive that love? Having loved his own, he loved him to the end. There's only one way that love can go. You can love a sinner, that's true, but it's not the same as loving a saint, your brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is just not the same. You love him because you know he's a human being. You know that he needs help. But when you have a brother and a sister in the Lord, you love that person just as Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. If he wasn't looking someplace else, in his dying moments, as it was time to leave this earth, as I believe is, perhaps the man's name was Harding, I'm not sure, wrote a sermon on it, a very touching sermon. He said, as many men in their dying moments have looked here and looked there and expressed their thoughts, their wishes, he said, Jesus, when he knew he was about to go, he said, having loved his own, he was loving them. And that's what we're coming to by the grace of Almighty God. More love for each other. We often sing the song, more love to thee, O Lord, more love to thee. But how about singing a song, something about more loving each other? Because that's where it lies. And you see, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So therefore, there wouldn't be these things that Paul enumerates here. The darkness has passed. The light has come. We're walking in that light. And it's time now to walk as we've never walked before. It's time for me to walk as I've not walked before. It's time for you to walk as you've not walked before. It's time for me to love as I've never loved before. And it's time for you to love as you never loved before. It's time to realize that time and eternity have blended. And all these things of time, all these things of this nature here, have all got to go. And by the Holy Ghost within us, that all of that can be burned out of us. And it should be. The heart circumcised, the mind circumcised. and begin to walk in that light as He is in the light. We can, because it is not only there in the sense it's appropriate and it's available, but it's there as a reality, and He said it's there as a must. So, may we put on the new man tonight and continue to keep putting him on as created in righteousness and true holiness, putting away all those things that should not be named amongst us, that we ourselves do not care for. We ourselves know better. It's time to come against the old enemy of our souls and our lives and just walk in this light with all sweetness and kindness that we possibly can, because it won't be too late, too long rather, until there won't be any time left. Now the Lord bless you. We're just going to read a little bit out of here in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and then you got the building nice and warm now, so we can go on with the foot washing and communion. All right. Paul speaking, he said, for I have the 23rd verse, for I have received the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus took bread in which he was betrayed. That night he betrayed, he took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it. He said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this remembrance of me. Now remember, not a bone was broken, but he died. And then after this manner, he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament, my blood, this do ye as oft ye drink it, remembrance of me. For as oft ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth. You proclaim, it's a sermon. You're actually proclaiming, you're actually showing the Lord's death till he come. You're proclaiming it, you see. You're living it over, as it were. You've entered into it. You're understanding it. You're not garnishing the tombs. See? You're saying, I was there. Like Brother Branham said, when he died, I died. As the dead, when he rose, I rose. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's very, very true. It must be done in a worthy manner, which is to be full of the Holy Spirit. And confess our faults one to another, get things out of the way. Let a man examine himself, that he eateth that bread and drinketh that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And you know, the Lord's body goes far beyond just what people think it is. He talks there of the true Lord's body, one of which is, first of all, recognizing a ministry. Brother Brand speaking concerning his own. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Brother Branham said on more than one tape, more than one time, he said, if you only knew who I was, there wouldn't be one of you that wasn't healed. You'd all be healed. That's a tremendous statement to make. But you see, he didn't discern the Lord's body, didn't discern the ministry there. If you judge yourselves, you should not be judged. When we're judged, we're chasing the Lord. In other words, we're corrected, we're shown what's right, we're not condemned with the word. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. You come not together to condemnation and judgment, the rest will set in order when I come. The brethren, please come forward then at this time, that they might partake of the, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now and ask you, my God, that you consecrate by your Spirit these emblems which we partake of. We believe that holy hands were used in preparing, O God, this which is set before us at this hour. And we believe, Lord, again, that there is no time when anything is required of us that we do, that it does not add grace and spiritual blessing. Tonight, Lord, may the broken body, which release the life, which we are thinking in terms of, the shed blood, releasing that life, that comes back upon us now, sets us apart, not only to be those that are fully in the truth, as those who received revelation, as Paul said, perfected, have entered into the wisdom, into the knowledge, and therefore they are part, but going beyond that, we're strengthened for the journey, and we're clean for the journey, sanctified and holy, set apart, not wandering in wilderness, not stumbling and not hesitating, but going on, Lord. May this be a very vital service for each one of us, because we want that vitality. We need it, Lord, as never before. We know the wiles of the devil as we've never known before. We know his tricks. We know every time he'll come and he'll hit that spot. Each one of us has certain spots. We know that he'll be right in there. God, tonight give us strength to stand right up to him, to the world. Everything, Lord, stand right up as never before in this end time hour, as everything in the Word, Lord, has come to light and all these things have been revealed and the strength of it manifested, a real vindication.
Lord God. It's been here. Now let that same strength, Lord, come from within us by the Holy Spirit within us. Come against all forces of iniquity and evil as we stand with this word, Lord. Confess it and then stand with the life. And that life stands with us so that though it is still we living here, we've been crucified with Christ. We've been put to one side. There's that life living through us. So Satan cannot attack us. So Father, tonight we believe that the revelation and the power of the Spirit be heightened within us as we partake of these emblems. Consecrate them now, Lord, the bread and the wine. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. We'll just start from this side. As usual. You know, if you took communion every single day, it wouldn't hurt you. This is not, we sort of make this a ritual, and it's not a ritual at all. As often as they came together, they break bread back in the last day. I mean, the early day. There's nothing washes away our sins but the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't do it. It's the blood that does that. That gives us entrance to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had of being together one with another, showing our common lot, which is Christ, our head, showing his death, resurrection, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the life that comes forth from it, Lord, signifying that we've made our confession, proclaiming your death, but we're also proclaiming the fact in this end hour that it won't be long till we eat anew in the kingdom and drink anew in the kingdom with you, Lord. We believe that. We ask Heavenly Father now to be with us in all manner, respects whatsoever is desired of you toward us, Lord, that we might fulfill it with joy, no hesitation, O God. Knowing, Lord, that though temptation comes, the enemy comes, naturally impulses all those things in ourselves, it's nothing compared to the power of the Holy Ghost within us, Lord. Now take away all fear, we pray, Lord, from each and every one of us, so that we will have no fear from this moment on, Lord, of doing your will or whatever you desire of us, O God, but just humbly go right ahead from this point, Lord, believing you as you never believed you before. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I do know where to repair to the men in the back and the ladies upstairs as usual. Just consider yourself dismissed after that end of the service. Or nursery, the ladies are in the nursery. Okay, that's fine. Save and going upstairs. If you got base.